This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Now, the opening drive.
The Mariners' ascension has just begun. Said that realization, and Brock and Salk talked about it a little bit this morning, and it triggered the thought in my head. When Jerry DePoto took over as GM, my biggest concern, my biggest thought was that, hey, you've got an aging nucleus of a team. And even when 2 years ago they finished a game short of making the wild card, qualifying for a one-game playoff, it's like, that's a great season, but all your best players, of all your best players, only Kyle Seager could be considered in his prime. But you get to where they are right now, 2 years later, and 23 games over 500, and about to host the Angels of Anaheim in a three-game series, whom you swept the last time they were here. And the best players on this team, they're now entering their prime. It's a much different team, and it speaks to what Jerry DePoto's done, but it also speaks to what you can expect going forward, because this team is just starting to get good. That's just beginning to happen. They've got a nucleus together, and they are much closer to the beginning of their run of relevancy than they are to the end.
Yeah, Segura, Haniger, Gene Segura, Mitch Haniger, and Diaz is the other one I was going to say. I mean, he's, what, 24? So, and remember the other day when we had Mike Leake, he was like, well, we're all about the same age. I'm like, well, except for, as you mentioned, Danny, that core of up-and-coming players. So, yeah, it's really exciting, and to have – What do they say now? Throw shade on the Mariners. I know this morning. Yeah, you like that, Danny?
I did like that.
Who was the guy? Jeff Passan. He was throwing some shade on the Mariners, so they're getting love nationally. And also, I'll just take Jerry DePoto's word for it, because he was the one that said, "Look, we feel like this is the time is now, and this is a playoff team." So, yeah, I can see them passing the Houston Astros and taking the lead in the AL West. And I know that you can't.
Jerry. What?
Well, they're a half game behind.
Just takes one. It could happen today. You could be proven wrong right within the next 24 hours.
Well, the Astros are hosting Texas. The Mariners against the Angels tonight. You are correct. You are very correct about that. I don't think it's going to happen, but it might, and we'll see. And I like your premise here, though, Danny, because, I mean, typically you look at the Mariners and you think, oh, boy, their window's closing. They got to get it done. Robinson Cano, I was just looking. He'll be 36 in October. And Cruz, we know, just turned 38 on Sunday. Felix has got to be the oldest 32-year-old pitcher in baseball. And you know that he's only going to be here one more year anyway. If he comes back in 2020, it's going to be for a drastically reduced deal. I like what you're talking about here, because, I mean, you look at a lot of the position players are still in their mid to late 20s.
Yeah, and then even the staff. I mean, look at Marco Gonzalez is one of the younger guys on the team. He's 26, and of course, Edwin Diaz. So, yeah, you've got some up-and-comers there. Leake's 30, you know, so they're sort of mid-range. And baseball's just different. I mean, shoot, you look at, other than Mike Trout, who's what, in his eighth year and he's 26?
Yes. Trout is just a monster.
Yeah. But, you know, usually in the NFL, the young guys are 22, 23. But just because of the system and the way it works out, yeah, it's not one of these where you feel like there's a window, as you said. The other thing that's closing, and the other thing is Nelson Cruz. I mean, look, there's a guy who they're going to sign him. Based on what we heard from Jerry DePoto, and Jim, remember when we interviewed him on the postgame show, you know, he said on the Wheelhouse broadcast or podcast that he thinks that Nelson Cruz is going to be good into his 40s. Well, he just turned 38, is that right? And so,
happy birthday. Feliz cumpleaños, Nelson Cruz.
Was that yesterday or 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
Yeah, but, you know, look, that sounds to me like he's going to re-sign him, and he told us he thinks he's a better older player than he was a younger player. So even though you're getting aging, they obviously think that he can continue on for another 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, though. I don't necessarily think they're going to re-sign Cruz, and even if they do, there might be a bidding war for him. Who knows there? But, you know, I'm hoping for one of those hometown discount type situations with him, where Cruz is so comfortable here and wants to be a part of what they have going forward here.
If you're the Mariners, though, with Nelson Cruz, I could see winning a bidding war for him. I could see deciding that kind of what we have built.
You wouldn't go more than 2 years with him, would you?
I don't think so, but if it came down to 2 years, if it was 2 years, $20 million, I'd do it right now. If it was 2 years and $30 million, $15 million a year, essentially what he's making now for 2 years, I'd think about it, and I'd probably try to wait and see if we could get to free agency and see if anybody else is going to offer him. But if someone else offered him 2 years at $30 million, $15 million per year, I'd do that to keep him. And I think here's the difference between where the Mariners are right now and where they were 2 years ago, and probably why I'd be more willing to extend Nelson Cruz right now. You're not as dependent on him as you were 2 years ago. If you think about it, because the Mariners were good and competitive 2 years ago. They missed the playoffs, the final day of the regular season. They ended up missing out on tying for the final wild card spot, which would have been a one-game playoff. They missed out on it. But you look at it, their best players were Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Felix Hernandez, and then Kyle Seager. And of those four guys, A, Jerry Dipoto didn't acquire any of them, which was the first part that I was looking at. You're like, it's great, and it's not that this is some sort of final judgment on Jerry Dipoto, but the reason that this team is good is not the moves that Jerry's made. But they're older. Like, three of those guys were outside of their prime. You're not expecting Cruz, Cano, or Felix to get better at that point. You look at where they are right now, Cruz is still good, but he is not the best hitter on their team. In fact, I'd probably rank him in importance through the first half of the season behind both Segura and Haniger and how they've hit. The team has shifted, and the bulk of the talent, and that's really important for what you look at toward the future. I love the idea and sort of digging into how you build a team. And they've shifted their team to where the bulk of their best players are now entering or in their prime as opposed to exiting their prime or going into the twilight of their careers.
Yeah, D. Gordon's 30. Mike Leake is 30. So,
and Leake might throw till he's 40 the way he throws.
Correct, yeah. And what LeBlanc's, I think, in his early 30s.
I believe 34.
I believe there's a statement, though, that if you don't throw 90 miles an hour, your age is irrelevant.
Like, because you're not 34 and on,
you're not
so
worried about,
month.
Like, he's going to lose a couple miles off his velocity, yeah. And then he'll just be throwing even slower, and it might be more difficult to hit.
You know, I would say the same thing about Nelson Cruz because of the compact swing that he has. Like, there's not a whole bunch of moving parts to that. The one thing that's here's the one.
Does it prolong his career, do you think, that he's a DH? He's
Heck
not
yeah.
out in the field?
Of course.
Definitely.
Are you sure?
I mean, if he can keep from tripping down the stairs when he goes into the dugout.
Why would you think it would do anything
but I don't know. I just I assume that to be the case, but I was just sitting there going, I mean, you know, Father Time, does he factor that in when he starts, when players start playing poorly? I don't know. Well, yeah, he was a DH, so I'm going to give him another year or two here.
Well, they got so much
if there
speed
is such
the
a
outfield.
Thing as a Father Time up there.
What,
and I believe in
it?
Baseball gods, so I think there's a Father Time, too.
So he looks down and is harsher on DHs because they don't play
in the
field?
Yeah, do you give a guy more time? It's the same thing like where I always think with defensive linemen, where if they don't play every snap that you can prolong their career and get more out of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely think that's true with the DH.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the benefits that God has blessed the American League with, is you can get a guy, you don't even have to worry about him. Nelson Cruz doesn't even run hard to first base, and we don't want him to because we don't want
he
him
kind
doing
of does. He makes an effort.
Yeah. Well, he makes an effort. I don't want him running as hard as he can to first base because I don't want him to do anything to his legs.
Isn't that funny, though, when you think about it? Not wanting someone to run hard to first base.
Yeah, it's a matter of investment.
It's just so funny
business
to
decision.
Me, though.
Yeah.
Just,
well, why would you want him to
like,
hurt
I can't
his
imagine
legs so
ever
could...
playing baseball, whether I was making $24 million or 24 cents and just, you know, hitting the ground ball and going, yeah, you know, I think I might trot to first because I don't want to pull a hammy today.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine doing that.
It's absolutely.
I mean, I understand that that's the way of the world and guys do that, and we see it from Robbie all the time. But and then
Robbie's
you're encouraging Cano or Nelson Cruz to slow down.
Robbie's is different. I don't care that Robinson Cano doesn't run hard to first base, but that's not as much of a business decision as it is with Cruz. I actually physically don't want Cruz running hard.
Okay.
Like, if
do you think we'll reach a point where a guy hits a grounder to short and then just sits there in the batter's box and goes to the dugout without even making an effort to go to first?
Fine with me. It wouldn't bother me in the slightest.
Okay.
Absolutely right.
That would bother me.
Yeah, if he just sat there?
Yeah. That's going too far, Danny. That's going too far.
I don't believe in fake hustle. Like, he really ran hard on that out.
The
like,
only
counts
thing
the same
is,
if he didn't move on it.
Okay, and I know it's one in a million or whatever, but, you know, if a guy makes a bad throw and we see the first baseman trying to make the pick, and those guys are so good at making those short hop picks, but on the occasion that he doesn't quite get it right away, you lose the chance of beating that out. Don't
you do lose that chance, and, well, you just make up for it next time. Like, say it's one play.
All right. Okay, well, here's the thing. So I like what you're saying here with these younger guys, and I wrote down all their ages, too, so I could participate here and actually know what I'm talking about for a change. But what about – you really need this to happen, too. I mean, it has to happen, because if it doesn't with these major leaguers, we're going to be waiting a while for these prospects. I don't even – can you even name the Mariners' top prospects? I mean, we always talk about Kyle Lewis.
Kyle Lewis is there.
But who else do we talk about?
I like the Stowers kid.
How about the kid from Stetson?
Stetson. That we just he's the one that we pitcher. just
drafted. But we're not going to see him right away. And I saw Sam Carlson's Tommy John surgery.
Tommy John, the left-hander that they drafted.
Yeah.
Right? Left-handed
so,
pitcher that they drafted.
But the position players, they have anybody in Tacoma, anybody, you know, a double A. You know, you sit there and you go, well, okay, you hope. And these guys who follow it, and I know DePoto bristles a little bit, and I don't blame him because it's his organization here, but who's waiting in the wings to take over for these guys? So yeah,
well, who cares? He'll just trade for some guys.
He will. And look, honestly, Jim, like the point, if this group, it doesn't happen for this group, I think you would be at a point where you would want to trade everybody. If they were 23 games under 500 right now as opposed to 23 games over, I think you would be in a situation where you looked at a really severe, the most severe rebuilding that the Mariners had undergone in the past 20 years. I think you would look at a point where they would move everybody of value, and that would include, like, right on up to James Paxton and other premier talent guys, Mitch Haniger, guys with player control, of saying, hey, we're not good with this group, so we need to go and get that next generation talent. The fact that they are good with this group, though, means that I think you can roll forward believing that they're going to get better. There's no reason to think that Mitch Haniger in 3 years isn't going to be a more productive, better player than he is right now. Like the way he
is. Yeah, think about that for a second, too, I mean, because you look at his numbers right now, and what he's on a pace for 120 RBIs and 30-some home runs, and he has a good average, good throwing arm. Dave, you talk about that all the time. He plays great defense out there. So, and he's only, what is he, 26?
Yes.
27.
And having that kind of player, those kind of players that are grouped there, Ben Gamble's in that group, they've got a lot of guys who are coming to Guillermo Heredia. Is a player that you can project, and it's been a long time since the Mariners have had a team like that. They've had guys that they've tried to patch holes with, or somebody like Russell Branyon who comes in and has a decent 1 year, but they're not the building blocks that they have right now. Think about how long we went with the Mariners of them not having good young outfielders. Like, they traded for the Casper Wells kid from Detroit. It's like, oh, he's supposed to be a good young... Like, they went years without having a single solitary interesting young outfielder, and now you've got multiples of them. If you include
I like
D.
Casper.
Gordon in
Did
that
you
group.
Like Casper?
No, he was a bad player.
I liked him, though, because I remember him a Sunday night at a Seahawks game. He was at a suite. He was in our suite, and he was hammered, and he was talking to my kids. He was really friendly to my kids, and I thought, eh, Casper, you seem kind of cool.
He played
I
baseball,
I liked his name,
Jim.
Too.
He played baseball.
No,
why
I
does
know,
it matter
I,
how he was behaving
I
at a football
I kind of like
game?
Casper Wells. I thought he was okay. He wasn't great. He was okay.
He was awful. He was a
he
bad
was
player.
He was not awful. Yes. Look at the stats. He wasn't awful.
He was not a good player. He was not a major league outfielder, and he was like the best of all the. Who was the other kid? Eric Thames that they traded for from Toronto, and he ended up had well, to then, go to the Far East before he came back last year and started
and
hitting a bunch of dingers with people. Like, they went years and years without having young outfielders, and I think that so Jeff Passan, who was on, they call him the wet blanket on Brock and Salk. He was on this morning, and when I heard him say this, I thought to it. He's flat out wrong when he says this.
This is not a young team. This is a team that is unquestionably built to win now.
They're built to win now.
Unquestionably?
But they're not an old team. It's See, not an old team. 2 years ago, they were an old team. They're not an old team right now.
Didn't you used to think that all those national guys knew what they were talking about? I did. I always thought, boy, if you're a national guy and you got to that position, you must know a lot.
No, I don't, because remember all the people weighing in on Russell Wilson? You know, and we're around him and we're watching him, and then people go, well, he's just so short. Like, really? That's what you got?
That's all
Pete
you got?
Prisco.
Yeah. Yeah,
Pete Prisco was the best.
Yeah, so yeah, not necessarily. Maybe different with the Mariners as opposed to the Seahawks.
There are moments where you really wish you had like a photograph of something. I really wish I had a photograph of John Schneider's face at the scouting combine in 2013. So it's after they win the Super Bowl, and Pete Prisco said to him after a radio interview, "I just don't see it with your quarterback."
After that season?
I just don't see it with your quarterback. I just don't think he's good. And John, and it wasn't like it was angry. It was like what you would look at someone if they were like, hey, I believe that there's life on Jupiter and the government's hiding it. Where he's like, really? Like, that's, are you serious? Like, what do you say to that? I have to argue with you that Russell Wilson's good?
I like when he gets questioned, he'll always have the same phrase. Yeah, so he's a pretty good player. You're talking about Rashad Penny this year. Yeah, he's a pretty good player.
I like Passan, though. I get a kick out of him.
Passan's great.
He's right up my alley. He's negative on a lot of things. he really is having a hard time believing what's going on with the Mariners.
But that, you know, that's just kind of ridiculously false what he said, because, you know, Segura, Haniger and Diaz, and you know they're all. I mean, look, D. Gordon's 30, but that's like you're in your prime. Gamble, Heredia. I mean, this is an up and coming team, and it's a good blend too because you got Denard Span out there, who's the old man of the group. But it's a good mix. So yeah, no, I don't feel like this is some window closing thing. By the way, I can't believe that we haven't noticed this. You know who's on the pitching staff down in Tacoma? Stink's son, Daniel Schlereth.
No way.
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah, they purchased his rights about a week and a half ago.
No kidding.
Maybe 2 weeks ago. I texted him that day. Yeah. And just said, hey, congrats, man. And he was really excited. I just hope he makes it up here.
It would be really fun to go talk to Daniel. The one thing I would worry about is he probably gets sick of talking about his dad.
I don't know, man. He might have some fun because I, you know, played with him, and so maybe we could pull some things out of him. I think he was like 7 when him and I played together.
Oh, that was really funny. When he said I played with him, I was like, oh, yeah, I was familiar that you and Mark were teammates.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were talking about Daniel.
No, I wasn't talking about Daniel, actually. I was just talking about his dad. So
that he was there.
What else did the wet blanket have to say?
He also said this, that the Mariners are basically the island of misfit toys.
I thought at the beginning of the season that this is nothing more than a compendium of guys who are like the odd puzzle pieces from other teams that you're trying to make into a cohesive puzzle in Seattle. It has worked, and it has worked like a charm.
Uh-oh, somebody's got their big boy britches on using the word compendium.
It's a compendium.
What's it mean?
It's a collection of concise but detailed information about a particular subject, Jim. Wow. Just pulled that right off the top of my head.
Yeah. Man, you type pretty fast over there, Dave.
Yeah, you're darn right.
Do you believe that our show could be called a 3-hour compendium on everything you need to know about Seattle sports?
This is concise and detailed, Danny, so no.
No, it wouldn't work that way?
Probably not. I can see why he said that, though. I mean, you're taking all these parts, hoping they're going to work, and that's why I give Scott Servais a lot of credit for putting the whole thing together.
Yeah, and that's one thing you've been pretty dedicated to. You think that Servais, when we did the whole thing, who's most important, I thought it was DePoto. Well, actually, it was between DePoto and D. Gordon. Because I think Gordon just brings this element to the game that's not anything that you can see on a stat sheet. But you're right about Servais. And I mean, creating that environment and getting these guys to all buy in and getting in. Like, how long has Cruz been here? Was it?
This is his fourth season.
His fourth season, and him and Kyle Seager, best buddies.
Best baseball friends.
They're the two best friends that anyone ever had.
That is what they are able to do. A couple pieces of news. Shohei Ohtani has been activated by the Angels. So he will be available. I'm not sure if he's in the lineup tonight or we've seen the starting lineups, but Shohei Ohtani, who's been on the DL the past 3 weeks, I think, is active and available for. The other thing is Mike Trout's here. Would you just walk Trout every single time he gets up? I'm kind of tired of the Mariners pitching to him. Just walk him.
What's his career now? He's got like, what, 16 home runs against the Mariners?
Just destroys, I mean, he kills 20? Everyone, but he really kills the Mariners.
He's hit more home runs at Safeco than any opponent in the ballpark's history.
That's crazy.
And he's only been playing for 6 years.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, there's been a lot of players that have played a lot more games in Safeco Field than Mike Trout, and he just demolishes it. Walk him every single time. Yeah. Even if the bases are loaded, walk him. Barry Bonds style.
Well, and you can't pitch him down and away either, because that's like where he lives almost, so... Yeah, maybe certainly in certain situations. It's hard to believe what he's done in 8 years. I mean, his first year, you know, he only played in 40 games. But, man, 8 years, he's 26 years old. Yeah, I would say. And does this team scare you?
Yes, Trout always scares me. But their starting rotation is way too – it's too injured right now, but they coming into the year, they had too many guys coming back from injuries. I think the A's are going to be more of a factor than the Angels.
Well, they think Garrett Richards is going to be back tomorrow. And I think the last time he pitched was in that series here. He had to come out early. He had a hamstring issue. And so he'll be back tomorrow. And then you got Ohtani, I think, is just going to be used in the lineup and not as a pitcher for the time being. But no, Trout, 7-for-11 in that last series with 4 home runs, 6 runs batted in. It's amazing when you look. He's hitting .313, 24 home runs, 49 runs batted in. You wonder what kind of a year he'd have if he played 162 games against the Mariners.
Here's the thing. We've gotten like 6 texts saying we need to hit Mike Trout instead of walking him. You bunch of savages. You bunch of jackals.
Wait.
You just want to hit him with pitches? That's ridiculous. This is Seattle.
Hey, it'll be payback for Nelson Cruz.
What is all this bloodlust that's out there? We're about to have a holiday, and people want to plunk Trout.
Would you really walk him with the bases loaded?
Yes.
depending on how many outs there are?
No.
No, depending on nothing.
Him.
Just
yes.
go ahead and walk him.
Yes. Give me decrepit Albert Pujols. Have him get on his little rascal, the little motorized scooter that'll take him from the on-deck circle up to the plate because he's too broken down to run anymore.
The guy with more than 3,000 hits who's yes. a future Hall of Famer, that guy?
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's time for us to take two.
Take two. Well, sadly, yesterday marked the 10th anniversary of the Sonics' departure, and after witnessing free agency in the NBA yesterday and all the monster teams, or the two monster teams
Super
that are developing,
teams.
Do you even want one anymore?
Yeah, I'd love to have the NBA.
Oh, man, yeah.
It's a lousy league right now, though. The Golden State Warriors won the title on July 2nd. And that's done. It's a wrap.
Because of Boogie?
Because of Boogie.
He's not going to play till January.
I don't care.
There might be an addition by subtraction sort of thing working there. Yeah. He could send that entire... If he's as much of a head case as you think he is and as much as you enjoy, he could entirely tear that team apart.
Yeah. But then they'll just send him packing. They'll just have him like, hey, you know what? Just take your $5 million and go home. If one of those players... The only way the Warriors don't win the title next year is if one of their three main players gets injured. And now they've got Boogie Cousins who plugs in there if one of those guys... That was to happen. And I also think Boogie's going to be on his... He's going to mind his P's and Q's.
The Seattle Seawolves of Major League Rugby have advanced to the finals in their inaugural year. It is also the league's inaugural year.
Do the Seawolves have like a chant, like, oh?
I don't know, but Jess is our local rugby expert.
Aficionado.
What can you tell us about the local Ruggers?
They're a ragtag team from all over the place, but I got to spend some time down there a few times. I shouldn't call them ragtag, but I just mean that they're pieced together from a bunch of different areas, not ragtag.
She meant that in the best possible
way. Not like Bad News Bears.
Would you call them a compendium of rugby players?
You've got guys from America, from overseas, from different areas, from just all over the place, which is kind of cool because having people come to the United States to continue playing rugby isn't something that you used to hear, I mean, even up to 5 years ago. But they're a great team, a lot of nice guys, great facility down there, and the games were a ton of fun. Looking forward to next year.
Are they playing at Starfire?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. There's rugby fans. I talked to a couple over the weekend coming out of the woodwork. It'll be interesting to watch that.
They're tougher than football players, aren't they?
No.
Yeah, they are.
I'd like to
also,
see.
It's a fun game to watch.
They don't have equipment. They don't have
gear. Yeah, but they don't hit as hard as football players.
You sure about that?
I'm absolutely 100% positive.
But there are rules.
Because if you saw some of the hits in the NFL and those occurred with people without helmets on, there'd be bashed skulls everywhere.
I don't know. Coors Light text line 710-710.
You know what?
Who's tougher,
you know
rugby
what?
Players
Here we go. I don't
or
know
football players?
The
Chris
end.
Sale or Dave Wyman?
You should have just put the end on that, a period. I don't know.
Listen, okay, I don't know. I don't know anything about rugby, but I was trying to be a good teammate and contribute to this Take Two item.
I like the fact that you think being a good teammate
is contributing.
Is doing your job.
No, I know. Well, I don't know squat about the rugby team.
What's that ever stopped you before from chiming in?
I still like Casper Wells, though. I do. Look up Casper Wells' stats. He wasn't that bad.
He was terrible.
And he was fun as a drunk in that suite. He was really fun. My kids got a kick out
of it. Is there a stat category for that, like fun as drunk? Like instead of war, he's got fad. It's Danny David Moore. We got Ryan Roland Smith. If the first 25 minutes is any indication, you're in for a holiday treat today.
Is Danny David Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
Casper Wells, he was one of the players they acquired for Pfister, right? Or was it Jared Washburn?
I forget.
One of those two pitchers. Yeah. Casper Wells came back. He was an outfield prospect. He hit .216 with the Mariners in 2011 and then bounced back to hit .228 the following year.
He didn't get enough minutes to get in his rhythm and in the flow.
He played a full half season in 2012 and was not very good. We are joined now by Ryan Roland Smith. Ryan, are you looking forward to the celebration of the 4th of July tomorrow when we demonstrate our superiority by blowing things up?
No, not really. Not at all. I could kill it. No, I'm kidding. No, guys, I'm Australians and Americans are big allies, of course. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So absolutely. You will blow stuff up?
Yeah, will you set off some fireworks?
I've got to admit, actually, not to defer it from, 4th of July tomorrow, someone, some crazy dude has been letting fireworks off at midnight. I even tweeted at midnight last night saying, does anyone around, I said, the Green Lake, Fremont, Wallingford area, know anything about these random bangs going off? And everyone wrote back, it's 4th of July, dude. I was like, all right, I get it. You know, it's just these random bangs. But I love fireworks. I love loud noise. It's going to be fun.
I think we heard an American dialect there.
Yeah, it's 4th of July, dude.
4th of July, dude.
It would be
yeah,
that.
Yeah, all right.
I'll tell you this. Just go over to Mike Salk's house and tell him to stop setting off fireworks. He loves fireworks.
Does he really?
Yeah. It's
well, here's the thing. I like the big ones, but the thing is you cannot really pay for ones that are good enough. Like, you might pay a ton of money, but they're just not quite good enough. They just kind of sparkle in your backyard. You're going to get somewhere. I think, you know, Safeco Field's supposed to put on a pretty good show tonight, actually. So that's where I'm headed right now.
It'd be really fun to see. They open up a 3-game series against the Angels tonight. This Mariners team on a hot streak. They had great pitching over the weekend. Who were you most impressed with their weekend starts? Was it what James Paxton did or what Marco Gonzalez did on Friday night?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Marco. I think both these guys needed that matchup. And it's not because the Royals are struggling, for different reasons, though. I think for Marco, I think it helped him because he knows that he can expand the zone. He doesn't have to go strike one, strike two every time to have success. I feel like sometimes he falls into too much of a strike throw, where his stuff is good enough that he can expand the zone and get chases. And for James, I think that I think it's forced him to throw that slider, or he likes to call it a cutter, forced him to throw that pitch. That is a huge pitch for him. When he was in Boston and New York on that road trip, he didn't have that pitch. And that's where you see those emergency hacks on two strikes on that fastball. Pitch count goes through the roof, and that's where he comes out of the game earlier on. But both those guys were so good. I cannot say enough about Michael Gonzalez. And I keep going back to spring training, and I'll admit, I was very skeptical. Jerry DePoto was talking so highly about Michael Gonzalez. I didn't see it in 2017, and I was curious to see, you know, what it was, what was that hump he was going to get over to be a guy that the way Jerry DePoto was talking about him. And then I heard about the cut fastball. He's trying to get back to that pitch in spring training. I'm like, yeah, I've heard that before. But, man, he is just on another level when it comes to what we saw last year. So I'm going to give it to Marco Gonzalez. Getting roughed up on the East Coast, that can rattle the cage a little bit, but coming back and being so strong. And I get it, man. I understand it's the Kansas City Royals. But it doesn't matter. These are major league hitters. They can all beat you with one pitch. That's for sure. So, yeah, a complete game, very hard to do. So I'm going to give it to Marco Gonzalez.
Yeah, and speaking of him, Ryan, I don't know if we got a chance to ask you about this, but after the Boston series, and he was complaining about them picking up the signs and things like that, and I kind of liked it.
Yep.
I don't know why. I guess I just think that, you know, it was kind of like it's kind of like, you know, when Richard Sherman used to talk noise and then back it up. I feel like he kind of did that. I mean, I know it's not good. It's not good practice to complain about that kind of stuff, but I don't know. I like the way he kind of stepped up there.
Yeah, and you know what? And calling out a team. And look, I you know, if he's complaining about them stealing signs and saying that's you know, the unwritten rules of baseball, you don't do that. I disagree with that. But from your point a little bit more with what you're talking about, Dave, the fact that you got emotional – and he stepped up and he was calling out a team like the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
That speaks for itself. And also, too, yeah, the emotion. You know, and knowing that, you know what, the reason he did get emotional about that is because he cares. He wants to set a high bar for himself. It wasn't like, oh, you know what, the Red Sox, oh, they're good hitters. I cannot stand when guys get in that post-game interview and they're like, oh, you know, he's a good hitter. I made a mistake and he crushed it. It's like, well, that's kind of a given, really. But I agree with you. The fact that Marco stepped up and said, you know what, this is what I felt about it, stepped up, and then, you know, he came out and he was a beast on Friday night. He looked good. He looked confident. And he was in control. And he just completely overmatched the team that he should have overmatched. He did it with ease.
Hey, Ryan, both Danny and Dave think that the Mariners can win the AL West, and I don't think they can. But what if we're at the end of the season and it actually happens, what will have to go right for the Mariners for that to happen?
If you're talking, I think it's going to come down to pitching, and that's where it's going to be tough for them, because no matter how, you know, when you look at the Astros rotation, and it seems to always come down who's got the number one, number two, number three. Yeah, those guys, the 1, 2, and 3, Verlander Garrett Cole, and whoever else beyond that. Everyone, they're all having a really good year, and whether it be Dallas Keuchel or McCullers, I think those guys are going to step up. That's where it's going to be tough. Is it sustainable? Is this rotation? We saw what they could do on the weekend. Is it going to be sustainable, you know, when you come August, come September? Talk about Marco Gonzalez. There's one little worry you may have about the amount of innings for him. He's right in the thick of that rotation. If you guys remember, Ariel Miranda last year was killing it. But you could start to see those weak links show up. One was not having the ability to get the ball on the ground. And the other was that fatigue setting in. Because he's a young pitcher, first time he's approaching 200 innings. It's always a tough threshold. Marco is going to get it to a point where that fatigue may set in a little bit. He had surgery a couple of years ago. So I think if they can manage those innings, and I keep saying, I've said this to you guys a million times, every time I get on the radio, I feel like I need to say it, but another starting pitcher would be great. And if you can slot them in and figure out how you're going to go down the stretch, add these off days to some of these guys, that's going to be a huge key. I think it really comes down to how they manage these young starters in the middle of that rotation. I think Felix is still doing good things. I think he's slowly finding some consistency. Paxton has gotten back to having three power pitches in his back pocket. We saw that last time out. But the middle of this rotation, I think, is going to be key, and it's going to come down to the Astros or the Mariners. Who's got the best 1, 2, 3 guys as you go through into September?
Ryan, we bring you on in part to ask you the really tough questions, and this is going to be a sensitive subject here. Who's tougher?
Okay.
Who's tougher? Is it rugby players or American football players?
Oh, that, wow. Look, that's a tough one. Very tough. Now, look, I'll be honest. I don't have enough experience with American, with gridiron players, as we call them in Australia, with American football players. Being around them, the ones who I have met, they have that thing about them, that toughness about them. But guys, I can't say one or the other, right? I just, because I'm so neutral and I want to be on the fence. I don't want to get anyone mad or anything like that. But rugby players are no joke, extremely tough, physically, mentally tough dudes. And when you think about it too, they're big guys. They have to hit each other hard constantly every 30 seconds in a game. And on top of that, they have to keep running, have that endurance. Their heart rate's constantly up. And so, to me, just to give you guys some kind of background, imagine, you know, running intervals down at the park and then having to make a tackle. Run an interval, make a tackle, and then get into that. So it's a tough game. I'm not trying to sit here and sell Seawolves tickets or anything like that. Those guys are so tough. I've got some good friends who played at a high level, and I'm not even coming close to them when it comes to mental toughness or physical toughness. But again, Just to keep this neutral, I haven't been around enough NFL players personally to really see who the tough guys really are. To be honest with you, yeah, I'd say rugby players. There you go, boom. I'm going out.
Hey, there we go.
Here would be the other thing is that here in America we don't call them intervals; we call them laps. You go run laps, Ryan.
Now you guys call them what do you call them? Wind sprints or whatever they call them.
Wind sprints.
They're intervals, right? Yeah. Wind sprints. There you go. Yeah.
You know, the intervals wasn't on my 100 Australian slang words here.
Ryan, we always love talking to you. I hope you enjoy the fireworks tonight. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you then.
All right. That is Ryan Roland Smith. Here was a text from the 910. I played rugby in college with all the other high school football players who weren't good enough for college football. No one is tougher than American football players.
Well, look, here's how it's kind of it's a silly question because it's like my dad can beat up your dad kind of thing. Because, look, those guys would never hit as hard as the NFL players do because they don't have the pads on. But, you know, toughness is, you know, playing through pain and stuff like that. There's no doubt these rugby guys are tough. There's no question about that.
They're just not as tough as American football players.
Well, there's also different rules. Like, you can't hit a guy in the air in rugby. That's illegal. You can't tip tackle. Yeah. You can't drive a guy's hips above his shoulders. Like, there's different ways of hitting, and it's probably designed to be safer because they don't have the equipment. But they take safety very, very seriously.
Yeah, and the 253 said, my CTE is coming out. You're damn right. I got CTE. I told you, I'd be ashamed if I didn't have it. I mean, when I'm dead and gone, they do my autopsy. There better be CTE in there.
It's Danny David Moore. I don't even know. Probably shouldn't be laughing at that, but that's really funny. I'm going to tell you what I hate about 4th of July next.
You're listening to Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Really important words for everybody. We want everybody to be safe this holiday weekend, so keep this in mind. Please drink responsibly.
Are drunk people supposed to say that?
Yeah. At least if I still drank, at least I'd have that excuse, right? Please drink responsibly.
Hey, since we're in the mood for pulling out clips, can we do the Professor unplugging the robot?
That's probably the best one. That one they're going to have to find in the back room there. This was during the B-Dubs ad for Buffalo Wild Wings. Please drink responsibly. And here it was. This was, what, 2 years ago at spring training?
This will never be not funny.
We do have the professor. John Clayton is with us. And looking ahead to exactly what everything that's happened, I've got a bad echo in my ear, Harden. Do we have the professor?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, John. John. You can. We do have the professor.
How do we keep these jobs?
I have no idea. But that was one of the things. It's weird. My brain malfunctioned because of the echo. Mm-hmm.
And like, you could never duplicate that.
No, I couldn't do that if I. Well, I don't know. If I tried, could I do something like this? Please drink responsibly.
Is there an echo there?
No.
No echo.
No. I was just.
Echo, no echo. You can screw it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did the same thing with the Traeger Grills ad. Yeah.
When you were talking about the smoked loins?
Yeah.
Wait, don't start pointing your finger over here.
Well, I was trying to ad-lib by, you know, hey, Dave, you know, the wood smoked flavor, and then I just, you know, got off script.
Mike Zanino. That was another one.
Earlier when I was mentioning the good players, I think I mentioned Gene Segura three times. They got Gene Segura, Mitch Haniger, Gene Segura, Edwin Diaz, and Gene Segura.
So, then yeah. Here's this classic.
The opening drive.
Hello? Can you hear me? That's not a good start. It's Danny, Dave, and Moore, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore here today.
That's the stupidest thing.
We're just Dave and I are an absolute circus when you're not here.
Well, I bet you're probably more polished and you don't have things happening about people drinking or professor that was there. There's one thing I hate about the 4th of July, and I realize that this might be like one of those pet peeves, and you get an opportunity to talk about it, and that maybe I'm alone on this. I hate the hot dog eating contest. I hate the attention that's paid to it. I hate the fact that it's a quasi-sports story. There's nothing that I like about the hot dog eating contest. I think it's gross. I think it's gluttonous. I don't think it's a talent at all. And I cannot, I have no interest in any of the stories that are about it, any of the coverage of it, how much is bet on it, who wins, whether it's Joey Chestnut.
Why?
I'm mad that I know
I
who
think
Joey
it's fun.
Chestnut. I think it's gross. I think it's disgusting.
See, he's lost weight now, and so he's on his high horse.
Oh, I see.
Like junk food and gluttony. No. Yeah, Mr. Orange Theory over here.
Do they eat the hot dogs with the buns?
Yes.
Yeah,
you
they
have
soak
to eat the buns.
Them. And they soak them in water?
That's correct.
Yeah, see, I'm with you. It's disgusting.
Well,
it's just gross.
Start betting on it. It's really fun when you bet on it.
What are the
odds? I bet on it last year. Chestnut's he's minus 600, so you got to bet 600 to win 100 on him. Some guy named Carmen Sincotti, he's plus 470. You can put 100 on him and maybe win 470 if Carmen has a good day tomorrow. Might be a good day for him. The over-under on the winner and what he's going to eat in 10 minutes, 71 hot dogs.
But isn't it the same as having a contest of like who can get punched in the face the most? Like it's just how much pain or discomfort, how much you can train your body to do a function that it should naturally reject, eating that much food in that short amount of time.
I think there's something impressive about Joey Chestnut, though, because everyone knows his name. Why hasn't someone taken over the hot dog eating championship from Joey Chestnut? But the guy is so good at what he does. I think it'd be interesting.
It's not a job. Eating hot dogs is not a job. Not a job.
the thing I always – he's not – a big fat guy.
No, they're not. They're
6'1", 230.
And like Kobayashi, the guy, okay. Like, I know way too much about all these. Kobayashi was like skinny.
Yeah, and so if you put 71 hot dogs in a bag, like that's what makes me really sick. Like, where does it go?
they stretch their stomach out by doing things like water training and eating lettuce, which is a very non-dense food, so they train their body to be able to expand with a massive volume of food.
It's just it is really disgusting. So how much, I mean, is there a lot of money wagered on it?
I don't know.
It's like more than $1 million. Bunch of sickos out
there. Is there that much?
Yes.
You see, if you read his Wikipedia page, Joey Chestnut, his breakout performance in high school, 6.3 pounds of deep-fried asparagus in 10 minutes.
That's not a breakout performance. Like the idea of, like,
breakout
he really announced himself.
Could you have chosen a better food?
I know, that makes
your
pee stink, right?
Stay away for at least 24 hours.
Yeah. It's Danny David Moore. We got the professor. John Clayton joins us next.